Okay, we're muted.
Today is December 14th, Kaf Kislev, and we are going to be talking about Eshet Potiphar, who is fascinating. You can see there were a lot of pages of sources. Hopefully we'll get through the first nine, and some of it is not appropriate. I'm going to try to skip over that a little bit, but the rabbis had quite an imagination, or Eshet Potiphar had quite an imagination. So we're going to start, there's a little prequel to Eshet Potiphar earlier in the Parsha, when the brothers bring the bloodied coat, Ketonet HaPasim, to Yaakov. And Yaakov then says, after seeing the coat, he says, Chaya ra'a achaltehu, a wild beast ate him. So Rashi there says that this means, we're going to read it in English because I have a lot of Hebrew sources, the Holy Spirit flickered within him. Potiphar's wife will ultimately provoke him. So it's saying that Potiphar's wife is a wild beast, and that's the wild beast that indeed will try to eat or devour Yosef. Now, why did the Holy One, blessed be he, not reveal it, the truth to him? Why wasn't Yaakov privy to the fact that his son was still alive? Because they, the brothers, excommunicated and cursed anyone who would reveal it, and they included the Holy One, blessed be he, with them. But Isaac, however, knew that he was alive, but he said, how can I reveal it if the Holy One, blessed be he, does not wish to reveal it to him? So we have this little prequel to a beast that will indeed try to devour Yosef, even though it wasn't the way the brothers said, and that is the wife of Potiphar. Okay, so continuing on, that was in Perek Lamed Zayin. Then, of course, we have the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar that's going to be relevant to our story as well in Perek Lamed Chet. And now we have Bereishit Perek Lamed Tet. So we're going to read through it quickly just to get the whole story. We're going to look at some Rashis, and then we will get to the commentary. So, V'Yosef Hurad Mitzrayma, Yosef was brought down to Egypt, V'Yiknehu Potiphar Saris Paro. Potiphar, it says Paro's chamberlain. Saris can mean either officer, or it also can mean a eunuch. And there's some talk about if Potiphar was a eunuch or not. So he was also the Sar HaTabachim, it says chief of the slaughterers. So it could be that he slaughtered all the meat, or it could be that he was chief executioner. And indeed, if you read the text carefully, you see that Yosef, when he was thrown into the prison, was the prison of the basement of Potiphar's house. Ish Mitzri, he's an Egyptian man, Miyade Yishmaelim Asher Horiduhu Shama, from the hand of the Ishmaelites who brought him down there. I'm going to read it in English. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Whatever he, Joseph, did, the Lord made prosper in his hand. Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he, Joseph, served him, and he, Potiphar, appointed him over his house, and all he had he gave into his hand. Now it came to pass, and since he had appointed him over his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was in all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Yosef's hands, and he knew nothing about what was with him except the bread that he ate. So I bolded over here, ki'im ha'lechem asher hu'achel. Rashi interprets this as a euphemism for his wife, that your wife can be referred to as a bread. Other commentators, it was interesting, said that this is based later when the brothers come to buy grain, that Yosef didn't eat with them when he had a banquet for them. And it was because they were disgusting, the Jewish people, because we sacrificed animals. And the Egyptians, I think, were maybe vegetarian. They worshipped the animals that we sacrificed. And so Potiphar wouldn't give him the bread because they didn't share bread together. So you can take it in those two different ways. And the blessing of the Lord, and Yosef was handsome, had handsome features and a beautiful complexion. So that is directly related to what comes next. Now it came to pass after these events that his master's wife lifted up her eyes to Yosef. So it's because he was beautiful that we have to know now that Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And she said, lie with me. Shichva imi is the language that she used. We're going to see one source that compares that language to other language in Tanakh. But he refused, and I can't help but highlight this, Vayuma'in. This is one of four instances of this particular note, the Shashalit, which is a triple pazer. It's the longest note. and it's first used with Lot hesitating. And so therefore, there are lots of drashot about Yosef refusing because it has this connotation based on the note of hesitating. When I wanted to really focus on Potiphar's wife, but I just wanted to point that out to you. He refused. He said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me, my master knows nothing about anything in the house, and all he has given into my hand. In this house, there is no one greater than I, and he has not withheld anything from me except you, insofar as you are his wife. Now, how can I commit this great evil and sin against God?" Now, it came about when she spoke to Yosef day in and day out that he did not obey her to lie beside her and to be with her. So this was ongoing. We would call this sexual harassment today. Yosef would be one of the few men in the Me Too movement posting his experience with his boss's wife. And it came to pass on a certain day that he came to the house to do his work, and none of the people of the house were there in the house. So this is a pasuk we're going to focus on. Why was nobody else there? And what kind of work was it that he had to do? 12, so she grabbed him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. This is when, if you see me on Facebook, I try to post an image of whatever it is I'm teaching. It was really difficult to find. There are lots of portrayals of this image of Potiphar's wife grabbing Yosef. Most of the images, she is naked, so I couldn't use it as my Facebook post. It's very difficult to find a modest portrayal of it. But this is a famous scene where he leaves his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. And this is repeated. Now, it happened when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside. So, vayanas vayetze hachutza. He fled and went outside. Vayanas hachutza. He fled outside. So she sees that she's in a precarious situation. She's clearly the instigator, and he ran away, and now she has his garment in her hand, and he's gone. So what does she do? She called the people of her house, and she spoke to them, saying, "Look, he brought us a Hebrew man to mock us." And that's later. Litzachek. Yeah, I should have bolded that there. Litzachek, we focused on that word. We focused on with Yitzchak and Yishmael and the connotations. And this is the pasuk that Rashi brought out of what Yishmael was doing possibly to Yitzchak of something inappropriate sexually, because that's the connotation she's using it in. It says to mock us. "He came to me to lie with me, but I called loudly. And it happened that when he heard that I raised my voice and called out, he left his garment beside me and he fled and went outside." Again, it's repeated. Vayanas vayetze hachutza. So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. And she told him the same thing, saying, "The Hebrew slave." So notice the difference in how he's referred, that she tells the people a Hebrew man, because of course she's talking to the other slaves and she doesn't want to belittle them as slaves. But when she's just talking to her husband, she says, "The Eved Ivri, the slave that you brought us, came to me to mock me." Nachum Leibowitz has a great chapter comparing the events as they actually happened and how she portrays them both to her people and to her husband. "And it happened when I raised my voice and called out that he left his garment beside me and fled outside. Now it came about when his master heard his wife's reporting that she spoke to him, saying, 'Your slave did such things to me,' that his wrath burned. So Yosef's master took him and put him into prison." Now that's odd, right? If you were the master of the house and your wife is accusing some slave of raping her, he would not have time to be placed in prison. His life would be over. So something's going on there, clearly. "Where the king's prisoners were imprisoned, and he was there in prison." And then I want to end on a happy note. The Lord was with Joseph, and he extended charisma to him. That's vayetalav chesed, and he gave him favor in the eyes of the warden of the prison. Okay, so now we're going to see a few Rashis that add depth to this story. Again, I'm just going to read them in English. I apologize, but we have a lot of Hebrew to get to. So Yosef had been brought down to Egypt. Scripture, the Pesukim, returned to the previous topic, which was Tamar and Yehuda, which it had interrupted in order to juxtapose the demotion of Yehuda with the selling of Yosef, to imply that because of him, Yosef, they, his brothers, demoted him, Yehuda, from his high position. And also, this is what we're going to focus on, to juxtapose the incident of Potiphar's wife with the incident of Tamar, to tell you that just as that one, the incident of Tamar, was meant for the sake of heaven, So this is, of course, referring to Tamar dressing up as a prostitute in order to seduce Yehuda to fulfill his responsibility to her as the widow of Yehuda's son, with whom she didn't have any children, and she wants to make a name for him. And he doesn't take responsibility, and he neglects her, so she takes things into her own hands for the sake of heaven. So to this one, the incident of Potiphar's wife, so it was meant for the sake of heaven. So we're equating the intent of the righteous Tamar, who we call it Tzadekis, she's a righteous woman, with Potiphar's wife, whose name has gone down in infamy. And yet, the Midrash is equating them. And how is she for the sake of heaven? She saw through her astrology that she was destined to raise children from him. But she did not know whether they would be from her or from her daughter. And last year, we studied in depth her daughter, which was Osnat, which became Yosef's wife. So that was unclear to her. Okay, Rashi again. Joseph had handsome features. As soon as Joseph found himself in the position of ruler, he began eating and drinking and curling his hair. So acting with some vanity. Said the Holy One, blessed be he, your father is mourning and you curl your hair. I will incite the bear against you. So this is the wild beast, the premonition from before. Immediately afterwards, his master's wife lifted up her eyes. That's how it's related. It's almost a punishment to Yosef for some vanity. Okay, and I think this is the final Rashi. Yep. So what was he doing home on that day? It came about on a certain day. That is to say that a special day arrived, a day of rejoicing, a religious festival when they, the household, all went to the temple of their idols. She said, I have no more fitting day to consort with Yosef than today. So she said to them, I am ill and I cannot go to do his work. There's a controversy between Rav and Shmuel. Rav were two first generation Amoraim. One said his actual work, he was really staying home to do work. And the other said to perform his needs with her. He was utilizing this day as an opportunity to be with her as well. But then his father's image appeared, and that's in the Gemara. So I heard a very interesting explanation of this, that what does it mean, his father's image? That he maybe even saw his own reflection, and since some time had passed since he was sold, and he didn't have a beard when he was sold into slavery, perhaps he saw an image of himself for the first time bearded, and it looked like his father, and that was what stopped him from engaging in these indecent acts. Okay, Talmud. And if a wicked man comes to judgment, the members of the court say to him, why did you not engage in Torah? So this is in the middle of discussion where we have three cases of people who don't learn enough Torah. One is a wealthy man, and one is a poor man, and Yosef is going to be compared to the wicked man. Somebody who has a very strong yetzer hara, evil inclination. If he said, I was handsome and preoccupied with my evil inclination, as I had many temptations, women were throwing themselves at him, they say to him, were you any more handsome than Yosef, who did not neglect Torah despite his beauty? They said about Yosef the righteous, Yosef at Tzadik, each and every day, the wife of Potiphar seduced him with words. And here we learn a little bit more about Potiphar's wife. In addition, the clothes that she wore to entice him in the morning, she did not wear to entice him in the evening. The clothes that she wore to entice him in the evening, she did not wear to entice him in the morning. So she had a lot of costume changes. Sorry, I'm going to close the door. Okay. So she had all these costume changes, and she really put in a lot of effort to seduce him. One day she said to him, submit to me and have relations with me. He said to her, no. She said to him, I will incarcerate you in the prison. If you don't listen, I'm going to put you in prison. He said to her, I do not fear you, as it is stated in Tehillim, God releases prisoners. She said to him, I will cause you to be bent over with suffering. He said, God straightens those who are bent over. Again, Tehillim, and we say these things in morning brachot. She said, I will blind your eyes. He said to her, God opens the eyes of the blind. She gave him 1,000 talents of silver to submit to her, to lie with her and be with her, and he refused. The Gemara elaborates, had he submitted to her to lie with her in this world, It would have been decreed in heaven that he would be with her in the world to come. Therefore, he refused. He saw the end of the consequences of what his actions would have been. Consequently, Hillel obligates the poor to study Torah, Rabbi Elazar ben Harsum obligates the wealthy, and Yosef obligates the wicked. For each category of people, there's a role model who overcame his preoccupations and temptations to study Torah. So we see how relentless the wife of Potiphar really was. Okay, one more Gemara. Rabbi Chana Bar Business says that Rabbi Shimon Chasida says, Joseph, who sanctified the name of heaven in private, had one letter in the name of the Holy One, blessed be he, the letter He, added to his name. You can see this in the Shir Shel Yom for Thursday. It's embarrassing. I'm not sure about that right now. But it says Yehosef. Maybe somebody who's has, yeah. It says Yehosef, and with an extra He. So he had one letter of Hashem answered, added to his name. Whereas in the case of Yehuda, who sanctified the name of heaven in public before Hesia at the Red Sea during the Exodus from Egypt, merited that his entire name is called by the name of the Holy One, blessed be he, as the entire four-letter name of God can be found within Yehuda's name. The Gemara explains, what is the situation where Yosef sanctified God's name in private? As it is written, it came to pass on a certain day when he went into the house to do his work. Rabbi Yochanan says, this teaches that both Yosef and Potiphar's wife stayed in the house as they intended to perform a matter of sin. With regard to the phrase, when he went into the house to do his work, Rav and Shmuel engaged in a dispute. This is what Rashi quoted, so this is here elaborated. One says it means that he went into the house to do his work, literally, and one says he entered the house in order to fulfill his sexual needs with her. The verse continues, and there was none of the house there within, men of the house. The Gemara asks, is it possible that in such a large and important house, like the house of that wicked man, that no one was there? The school of Rabbi Ishmael taught, that day was their festival day, and they all went to their house of idol worship, and she told them that she was sick and could not go. As she said to herself, I have no day on which Yosef will attend to me like this day. The verse states, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. At that moment, his father's image came and appeared to him in the window. The image said to him, Yosef, the names of your brothers are destined to be written in the stones of the ephod, the priestly garment, and you are to be included among them. Do you desire your name to be erased from among them and to be called an associate, a ro'eh, resh ayin hey, a promiscuous woman? As it is written, but he who keeps company with harlots wastes his riches, as he loses his honor, which is more valuable than wealth. Immediately, and his bow abode firm, Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, this means that his bow, which is a euphemism, and you can read the non-bolded part, returned to its strength as he overcame his desire. The verse about Yosef continues, and the arms of his hands were made supple. That's in the brachot that Yaakov gives to all the children in chapter 49 of Bereishit, meaning that he dug his hands into the ground and his semen was emitted between his fingernails. So there's another continuation of this midrash that Yosef was actually meant to have 12 children, just like Yaakov, but because of this incident, out of his 10 fingers, he lost 10 of those and he ended up only having 2 sons. By the hands of the Mighty One of Jacob, who caused his name to be etched onto the stones of the ephod, it was only the might of Jacob. From there, from the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Shepherd also is the same when we said the friend of the harlots. So this is, he becomes a shepherd, the same letters, ro'eh. From there, because of Yosef's ability to withstand this trial, he merited to become a shepherd of the Jewish people. As it is stated, listen, shepherd of Israel who leads like the flock of Yosef, from Tehillim. Okay, so those are some of the basic facts about what was going on that night between Rashi and elaborated upon in the Gemara. And we get a sense of the scene and Potiphar's wife's relentless attempts to try to seduce him. And Yosef almost succumbing, but then not. Okay, so now we're going to try to learn more about Potiphar's wife from other sources, and we'll also learn more about Yosef. Ein ata motse ne'aman gadol miYosef. You can't find any more faithful than Yosef. Shaya b'mitzrayim, that when he was in Egypt, shekatuv be'amasher basar chamarim b'saram, this horrible description from Yechezkel of the Egyptians, she lusted for their concubinage, those whose flesh is the flesh of donkeys and whose issue is the issue of horses. V'hu ben shvaz fe'shana. So we have to remember, he was 17 years old. V'lo nechshad al ha'ariot bioter, Shaita adnu toimo. He wasn't suspicious of inappropriate sexual actions because he was always with his master, the bait, in the house. Ve'aita mishtadelto. Sorry, his mistress was with him in the house. He wasn't suspicious. Nobody suspected him of anything. But she, haita mishtalto, she would strive b'chol yom v'yom, every day, b'dvarim, in words. Haita mechalefet gimel chalifot begadim, she changed her outfit 3 times, b'chol yom v'yom, every day. Kelim, and then she, what we read before, how she changed. Kol kach lama, why did she do all this? Kedei litein anavba, so that she could watch him. Amru razal, a rabbi say, pam echad nitkatsu hamitriot, one time all of the Egyptian women gathered, Ubao lirot yofiav shel Yosef. They came to see Yosef's beauty. Ma asta ishet Potiphar. What did Potiphar's wife do? Natla etrogim. She gave out etrogs. I don't. It's interesting why specifically etrogs. Venatna lekol echad veechad mihen. She gave to each one of them. Venatna sakin lekol echad veechad. And she gave each one a knife. Vekara li Yosef. She called out to Yosef and she stood him in front of all of them. Once they were looking at his beauty, Shal Yosef, and they cut their hands. They were so distracted by Yosef's beauty. That's how beautiful he was. Amralahan, she said to them, you in one moment are like this? You look at him for 1 moment, 1 hour? I see him all day, every day, all the more so. It's so hard for me to restrain myself. Every day she would strive with words. And he stood in his inclination. And he did not submit. Okay, now this next source is commenting on her language. Amar Rabbi Birchia, Arurim HaRashayim. Rabbi Birchia says, the wicked are cursed. Lahalan k'tiv v'tit pashehu b'begdav le'mor shachvayima. Imi, she says to him, she took off his clothing and she said, lie with me. Avahacha, but in the book of Ruth, when Ruth is trying to seduce Boaz, when she goes to the threshing floor, uparasta k'nafecha almatacha. She says, spread your wing or your garment over your maidservant. She does it in much cleaner, nicer language. So it's showing the causticness of the wife of Potiphar and how she spoke. Okay, next one. Vayhiki debra Yosef yom yom. She spoke to Yosef every day. Rabbi Yudin b'shem Rabbi Binyamin amar baneha shavachal nisan shaveh ugedolatan shaveh. The sons of Rachel are equal. Their trials were equal and their greatness was equal. Rabbi Forman talks a lot about these similarities here between the Purim story and the Yosef story. A lot of people talk about the similarities. So we're going to see some of them now. Nisan Shaved, their trials were similar. Kedibral Yosef Yom Yom, that she spoke to Yosef every day. And Vayhi Be'amram Elav Yom V'yom, people would talk to Mordechai every day. And this was in trying to get him to bow down to Haman. So similar situation, and both of them capital offenses, either inappropriate sexual relations or idol worship. Velo shama aleha. He didn't hear. Yosef didn't listen to her. Velo shama alehem, and Mordechai didn't listen to his people. V'gedulatan shaveh, their greatness is equal. V'yisar paro et tabato. Paro takes off his ring for Yosef. V'yisar hamelech et tabato. King Achashverosh takes off his ring for Mordechai. And then there were more explanations, but I just really wanted to try to focus on Potiphar's wife. V'lo shama aleha lishkavetzla. He didn't listen to sleep with her be'olam hazeh, in this world. Liyot ima shelo ya'ima b'gehenem le'atid lavo, so that he would not end up being with her in Gehenem in the future world. Devar acher v'lo shama aleha, another explanation for he didn't listen to her. Afila b'shkiva b'lo b'tashmish, even just to literally lie down with her and not engage in sexual relations. And then we have this interesting story. Matrona, so an important woman, shalat Rabbi Yossi, asked a question to Rabbi Yossi. Amralo, she said to him, Efshar Yosef ben Shvasre Shanahaya omed b'kol chom'o v'haya osa davarze? How can it possibly be that a 17-year-old boy who's being propositioned by the woman of the house can suppress all of his heat and not and be able to withstand it? Hotzi lefaneha sefer bereshit. he brought out before her the book of Bereshit. V'yitzchil kore lefaneha, and he started reading it before her. Ma'aseh Reuven u'Bilha, we see, and it's interesting here because it's clearly understanding the literal pasuk where it says that Reuven slept with Bilha. Midrashically, we always understand that as him moving the beds around, but that he slept with her. Ma'aseh Yehuda v'Tamar, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, where he's seduced by her dressed up as a prostitute. Amarla, he said to her, Ma im elu shehem gidolim uberashut avihen. What about these who are grown up, they're much older than 17, and they're also under the authority of their father, they have their father with them. Lo kisa lehem hakatuv. The Torah doesn't cover it up in the least. It's explicit about what they did. Zeshu katan berashut atzmo, this one who was young, and he didn't have his father, he was under his own authority. Alechat v'akama v'akama, all the more so we can believe it, because the Torah would not have had an issue with saying that he did these things if indeed he'd done it. But rather, the Torah is explicit in other ways, all the more so we believe that Yosef really did restrain himself in this story. So that's an interesting added thing about Yosef. Okay, Moshav Zkenim, which is collections from the Tosfot. Yosef Amar Mivarachet Hashem Artso VeGomer. So this again is, this is from Devarim Lamed Gimel. So this is Moshe blessing all the tribes, and it says his land is going to be blessed. Ve'im Tomar, what if you say my Tama Berech Artso Shel Yosef Yoter Mi Artso Shel Achiv? Why would Yosef's land be blessed more than that of his brothers? Ve'yesh Lomar Mipnei Shelo Nishma LeEshet Potifar. It's to say that he did not listen to the wife of Potifar. Deha chazin and gabe adam harishon, because the opposite was true of the first man, shekilel et haaretz ba'avur avono, where the land was cursed because of his iniquity. Afkan bracha ba'avuro. Therefore, in this case, where Yosef was not seduced by this woman, the land is blessed. Ava achti kasha, but it's still a difficulty. Imkein keshem shenit kalala kol ha'adama ba'avur adam. Just as all of the land was cursed because of man, kachiyam evarachet kol ha'adama ba'avor Yosef, so should all the land be blessed because of Yosef. Ve'al yedei lezeh, something, she'adama nitkalla ba'avor avon adam arishon she'pitateto ishto. So why was the land cursed? Because his wife seduced him. Aval Yosef she'amad kenegda le'eshet Potifar, Yosef, who was able to stand firm against the wife of Potiphar, v'lo hitato, and he didn't make a mistake, he didn't go astray, l'chei nitbarcha artso, therefore his land is blessed, shelo tehe betocha klala she'adam arishon, that it was no longer under the curse of man, of the first man, she'amar aruraha adama ba'avarecha, where it was said, the land will be cursed on your sake. Misham Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So again, the power of Potiphar's wife and the power of Yosef's ability to withstand it. Okay, this is, I think, my favorite few sources here. So this is from Psikta Zutra. I chose this one because it had the language that I wanted. The more common Midrashim had different language. I'll tell you what it was. So Ve'anas Ve'etze Hachutza. So we saw this line repeated in the Psukim, that he fled and he went outside. We saw it repeated several times. Kevan She'amar Ve'anas. Since it said he fled, why does it also have to say he went outside? It could have just said he fled. Nitzal, he was saved, b'schut Avraham Avinu. In the merit of Avraham, our father, the other sources say avot, b'schut avot, of the fathers. It doesn't specify Avraham, that's why I chose this. Shene'amar, as it's written in Bereshit Tetvav, this is during the Brit Bein HaBetzarim, the first covenant between the parts that God makes with Avraham. And it says, Vayotse otao hachutza, that Hashem brought him outside. So it's similar language. And now we have the Torah Tzmima, which we've seen before. He's usually just a collection of midrashim, and he arranges them according to the psukim of the Torah. But every once in a while, he has a footnote where he includes his own chidushim. And this was one of those cases. So he quotes Rashi on why these two parshas of Yehuda and Tamar and Potiphar's wife are right next to each other. So he says, Lomar lecha, to tell you, mazo Tamar l'shem shamayim, just as Tamar was for the sake of heaven, afzo l'shem shamayim, so too was Potiphar's wife, which we saw before in the Rashi. שראתה באסטרולוגין שלה, she saw in her astrology, שעתידה להעמיד בנים מיוסף, that she would have children from Yosef. ואינה יודעת אם היא או ביתה. And she didn't know if it was her or her daughter, Osnat, the wife of Yosef. Ad kan l'shano, that's the language of Rashi. וכן הוא במדרש רבה כאן, and it's also in the Midrash. ועל פי אגדה זו, אפשר לבאר עוד דרשה אגדית. According to this Midrash, we can now elucidate another Midrash, kan v'parsha, in our parsha, v'yanas v'yatzei achutza, that he escaped and he went outside. Kafatz, bizchut Avraham. He jumped in the merit of Avraham, and you can see there's another version that says bizchut avot, in the merit of the forefathers, but it's really Avraham. Heich, mad atamar v'yatzei oto achutza. How is that so? It's from what it says, and he brought him outside. Hashem brought Avraham outside. Alkein ve'amlo me'od ha'mefarshim b'biorza. The commentators really worked hard to try to explain this. U'lefi ha'mevu'ar le'el b'midrash rabba, and according to what's explained above in the Midrash, shekavana eshet Potiphar l'shem shamayim, that the intent of the wife of Potiphar was for the sake of heaven, mipnei sh'ra'ata be'astrologin she'atita la'amid banim mimenu, because she saw in her astrology that she would have sons from him. Behasvara noteh shehirtzata zo liYosef leman yishmala. And so you can logically conclude that she wanted that Yosef would listen to her. Ulefize haya efshar she'emnam yishmala. And it's possible that he would indeed listen to her. Af bizchut she'ne'amar be'Avraham. But it was only in the merit of what was said to Avraham, v'yotzei oto hachutza, that God brought him outside, v'darshinan, and we say in the Gemara on that pasuk, she'amar Avraham lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ro'ehu be'estrogalin shelo. In this conversation, the Midrash expands on it, that when God brought Avraham outside, it says that Avraham said to God that he saw in his astrological sign, okay? And these, I think, are some of the few places where astrology is mentioned. So he saw in his zodiac she'eino ra'ui lohalid, that he wasn't worthy to give birth. Hotzioto HaKadosh Baruch Hu hachutza, God brought him outside. V'ramaz lo bezet se mi'itstagninut shelcha, in bringing him outside, it was a hint to Avraham, get out of your zodiac, get out of your constellations. You are not limited by fate. Klomar al ta'amin bahen. That is to say, don't believe in them. Ubischut ze nishmar Yosef shelo yifne le'archei ha'etzraligneim v'yechta. And it was in this merit that Avraham trusted in Hashem and not in what he was seeing in his zodiac, his astrological sign, that Yosef was guarded and he didn't turn towards these values of astrology and sin. V'zehu she'amar v'yanes v'yatze, and that's why it has to say both he escaped and he went outside, v'yatze achutza, bizchut Avraham, in the merit of Avraham, she'amar be v'yotze oto achutza, where it says for Avraham, and he brought him outside. K'mo she'Avraham yatza chutz le'etzroglin, just like Avraham went outside of his constellation, v'lo ha'amin bahem, and he didn't believe in them, kein lo natan hu omen bahem. So too, Yosef didn't put any faith in them. V'ayidei ken nimna min hachet. And by way of this, he avoided the sin. It's so beautiful, this idea that Potiphar's wife had this horoscope that she would have children, but that Yosef, as a believer in God, a believer in destiny, not limited to the constellations, the whole system of the stars, he didn't have to fulfill that prophecy of the stars with her. He was completely out of that whole realm with the merit of Avraham, who chose to stop believing in the system of the stars and believe in Hashem and believe in destiny. It's a beautiful connection there. Okay.
It is beautiful. I must say that I'm just trying to think about Yosef in a Beit Potiphar was such a hard to stay on.
Yeah.
It's too difficult because it's like he just came out from jail.
Yeah.
And he was like, he thought maybe he will die and will be, I don't know, executed. And then he's like the only the only people that like kind of saved him is Potiphar's wife, which he like kind of like he owed his wife.
Yeah.
So it's such a hard misdemeanor because it's like he, that's what she wants, and he's like kind of like, you know, needs to give it to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for adding that so that we have even more of an appreciation for Yosef overcoming this situation. Thank you, Marguerite. Okay, so the next one, Vitit Fasheo Bibigdo, she took off his clothing, Veotse Hakutsa, and he went outside, Kafatz Biskutavot, so this is the other language from Breshit Rabbah, that he jumped on the merit of the fathers, Haich Mada Atomer, Veotse Oto Hakutsa, and again it quotes from Bereshit that God brought Avram outside. Shimon ish katron amar bischut atzmotav shel Yosef nikra hayam liYisrael. So this midrash is taking it one step further. So Yosef jumped onto the merit of Avraham when he was brought outside, and because of Yosef's merit, his bones are what enabled the sea to split. Because what does it say in Tehillim that we say in Halal? Hayam ra'a vayanos. It's the same language. Let me just check that before I say that. Vayanas and Vayanos. So the language of the sea splitting, according to the Pasuk in Tehillim, is the same language as Yosef fleeing, and that is why the sea split. In the merit of Yosef, in the fact that his bones were being taken back to Eretz Yisrael for burial, and it says, Biskut Vayazov Bigdo Biada, in the merit that he left his clothing in her hand, which was so incriminating to him, right? And that's what put him in jail. So next week, we're going to see the Emet LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. This I put in small because it's one from our Parsha, but he refers actually to Parsha B'Shalach, to the splitting of the sea, where he expands on it more. So that's the one we're going to read together. U'me'ata l'kishenavo l'dat kama ho'il Moshe l'kla Yisrael ayidei mitzvah zo. So now we can go to the knowledge how effective Moshe was for all of Israel by way of this mitzvah. And the mitzvah was, of course, retrieving Yosef's bones. Nimtza Masha Katuv Razal, what our rabbis said, Shimon Ish Katran, this is what we just read, Omer Biskut Atzmotav Shel Yosef Nikra Lehamaya. It was through the merit of the bones of Yosef that the sea split for Israel. Havahu Daktiv Haya Ra'a Ve'anos. The sea saw and it fled. Bischut ve'azov bigdo ve'anes. In the merit that he abandoned his clothing and he fled. Vayin sham, look there, which we did. Ubi'ur divrei hamidrash mistaber. Mishum de be'amet hanisa hazo hayta mesirut nefesh mamash. And the words of these midrash are understood because truly Yosef's fleeing was quite a tribulation, mesirut nefesh. He understood that she would need to cover up her embarrassment, and she would need to say, the Hebrew slave came to me and I raised my voice and he left his garment here and he fled outside. And all of the results that came after him being imprisoned and all of these things. And if it weren't for the dreams of Paro, he would have spent the rest of his days in prison. It was indeed a giving up of his soul that he fled. He knew he had to get out of there, even though he was leaving his garment there. And this was the exact merit that Israel needed at the splitting of the sea. Sharei amru malchei hasharet, halalu avdei avodah zarah, v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. This is a different midrash that the ministering angels were saying, God, why are you saving them? They're all these, the Egyptians worship idols and the Jews worship idols. Harei shamalachim lo ra'u havdel ben elu le'elu. The angels couldn't see any difference between the Egyptians and the Jews. V'hutzrach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahatrid et hasatan ve'inyan Iyov, and God needed, and this is the same reason why God needed, he was bothered by the Satan with the story of Job, and that's why he tested Job to prove that Iyov, that he was truly a believer. Ve'ilu lo hayu hochachot she'anu nishtanenu mikolma, and if there hadn't been proof that we were indeed different from all the other nations, vilash and all languages, lo hayta yichola midat harachamim la'amud bifnei midat hadin kivyachol. It wouldn't have been possible for God's attribute of mercy to be able to stand before his attribute of justice so that we could be saved. Ve'efo matzuzot, and where do we find this difference? Benisyono shel Yosef, in the trial and tribulation of Yosef. Ki hadivrim hayu kol kach rechokim mimusage ha'umot. These things were so far from the concepts of the nations, ad shesipru razal, and to the point that the rabbis tell the story that we studied before of the Matarona, the important woman, Sha'alat Rabbi Yossi, who asked Rabbi Yossi the question, Amar li Yashar Yosef ben Shvasre Shana haya omed bekocham ove'a osad davar hazeh? Is it possible that Yosef, as this young 17-year-old, could have stood with all his heat and really have behaved this way? And look there, which we did. Harei shalo hisiga sheishna be'asharut ha'adam la'amod benisayon zeh. This woman, this Greek or Roman woman, couldn't even imagine the possibility that a man could withstand this temptation. That's the difference between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. V'chan hir'ah HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'midat ha'din shenishtanenu mikol uma v'lashon. And by presenting Yosef's bones, it's as if you could say that God showed the attribute of justice, his own attribute of justice, that indeed the Jewish people are different than any other nation. Ve'afilu im ovdei avodah zarah, even if Jews are worshiping idols, aval toch tochiotam mekor acher nichtav, within our innermost parts, we are hewn from a different source. Aval mashma mitoch ma'amar zeh, but we learn from this saying, shebelo arono shel Yosef lo haya hayam nitkar baka. If it weren't for the coffin of Yosef, the sea would not have split. And that's why Moshe, busying himself with finding Yosef's bones, saved all of Israel. And they were able to plunder the sea, the Egyptians and the sea. And the fact that they came out with a huge bounty, all of this was from Moshe busying himself with taking the bones of Yosef, and Yosef being able to withstand the temptation of Potiphar's wife. Okay, now this is an interesting little added thing, and we can see more the machinations of Potiphar's wife and just how far she was willing to go to incriminate Yosef. So it says, Rak admat ha-kohanim lo kana. So this is later in next week's parsha, when Yosef has to feed the entire country, and the Egyptians essentially sell off everything they have, stopping at their own bodies in order to be able to have food. And they sell their land, and it turns into sort of a serfdom. But we're told that the Kohanim, the priests, Yosef did not buy their land. They were able to maintain their own land, the Egyptian priests. Okay? And this is Paneach Raza, which is Rabbi Yitzchak, son of Rabbi Yehuda Levi, late 1300s France, and he says, Peresh hasarim hamimunim, so what are these kohanim? They're ministers that are appointed. Kamo ubnei David kohanim, like it says in, I think it's in Divrei Hayamim, that the sons of David were, it says kohanim, but obviously they weren't priests. David's from Yehuda. They were these appointed ministers. Umekevan shehaya Yosef nasui, bat ha'achad mihem, since Yosef was married to one of them, it says Osnat was, her father was a Kohen. Ra'a lepatram kulam bishvilo. Yosef saw to exempt them from having to sell their land because of him. Matzati devar acher, but then he gives another explanation. Komrei avodah zarah, these priests of idolatry, hayu, that's what they were. Upatram mipnei shepatru hugamken. And why did he exempt them? Because they exempted him. Why, how, when? She'eshet Potiphar haviato lifnehem leduno lamita. The wife of Potiphar brought Yosef to them to judge him capital punishment, capital crime. Upaskula, shivdeku bedakav. And they told her that they were going to check his clothing. Im nikra'u milfanav, if it was torn from the front, bivadai hadinima, then of course the law would be with her, because they would have been face to face and he would have been forcing himself on her. Shemiher lishkavima, that he was rushing to lie with her. But if they were ripped from behind, Bivadai hadini mo. Then they would know that he was in fact trying to flee and the judgment would be with him. That she grabbed onto it and that's how it tore. Vivukash hadavar vimtsa upatruhu. They sought into it and they found that they exempted him. So these priests, these Kohanim, exempted Yosef, and therefore he exempted them when it came to this necessity to sell the land for food. Okay, I'm not going to read the next section. It's too embarrassing, especially with my dad on the line. So we're going to skip that. But it's another way that Potiphar's wife tried to incriminate Yosef. You can read it here. It's also later in the Soshit in the Targum Yonatan, if you want to look at it there. Okay, so that was interesting, that because they exempted him, he exempted them. Okay, the Chazkuni we're also going to skip. So this is interesting. So we just have two more sources. So this is from Chumat Anach, which is the Chida, who we've seen several times this year. So he's quoting from Yehoshua Perek Bet about a zona, a prostitute, Ushma Rachav, and her name is Rachav. So Rachav is the one that saved the Jewish people from the Canaanites in Jericho, and she was able to allow them to spy out the land to figure out how to attack and conquer. We have Shai Lermoz, it's possible to hint, B'masha Katuv B'Sefer HaGilgolim. So he's quoting from a book of reincarnations, Meha Rama, the Arizal, I think it is. Misham Derachav Haita Gilgul Eshet Potiphar. Rachav was the reincarnation of the wife of Potiphar. The Yehoshua Gilgul Yosef. And Yehoshua was the reincarnation of Yosef. And of course, Yehoshua is from the tribe of Ephraim, which is one of Yosef's sons. V'lakcha le'isha, and Yosef took her as a wife. Ad kan devarav, that's a quotation from the book. U'bezeh nicha, Masham Ruzal, what the rabbi said, Shamar le Yosef, she ra'a be'itstagninot, shehu nizkakla, that she saw in the stars that he was necessary to her. V'lo yada shehu be'gilgul rachav, but she didn't know that it was actually not that generation, but it was in a later reincarnation with Rachav. And that also, one of the troubles I always had with that, she didn't know whether it was her or her daughter, because according to the Midrash, it's not her biological daughter, it's actually the daughter of Dina, Osnat. So now we can say her biological descendant that would come in the form of Rachav is really what the stars were saying. Ubezen nichamashakatuv Yaakov liyosef mishem roa evin Yisrael. And this also makes sense what we saw before in the Gemara, that Yosef would be the shepherd of Israel, sheyavo b'Yehoshua, that it, that would happen, that Yehoshua was the leader of Israel, he was the shepherd of Israel, his descendant, his reincarnation. Okay, now this next source, which is really interesting, and it's Rav Yerucham, the son of Rabbi Avram Halevi Leibowitz, who is the Mashkiach of the Mir, and he was one of the leaders in the Musar movement, and he's going to give us some Musar that we can learn from Eshet Potiphar. The Yosef Harad Mitzrayim, Yosef was brought down to Egypt. Uber Rashi, and Rashi, which we read already, where he says, what's the connection between Eshet Potiphar and Tamar? And it's to say to you that they were both L'Shem Shemayim, they were both for the sake of heaven, and that she saw in her astrology that she was meant to have children with Yosef, whether it was her or her daughter, or maybe Rachav. V'hine harbe lamadnu mi'inyan, we can learn a lot from this, shebishvilo horiduhu migdulato, and from it he was brought down from his greatness. Asher mipnei zeh nismecha parshat Yehuda l'michirato shel Yosef. That's why we connect the parsha of Yehuda with Yehuda and Tamar to see how he was brought down to his greatness from selling Yosef. But what does it mean that Potiphar's wife was doing this for the sake of heaven? We can learn a lot of really great things from this. The first one, to tell us the praiseworthiness of the forefathers. And this is also what we learned from Timna last week. how much people wanted, desired to be connected to them. Hine Tamar, kol kavanata haita shelo tetze rekanit mibet Yehuda. Tamar's entire intention was that she shouldn't go empty from the house of Yehuda. V'hiv kira atzma, and she made herself hefker. She like completely debased herself by dressing up as a prostitute. Umasra nafsha, she was willing to give up her soul. Ach v'rak lahamid banim mezar'o shel Avram, for the sole reason of having children from the seed of Avram. V'chein eshet Potiphar, and this was also the wife of Potiphar. Kol kavanata haita ach v'rak lahamid banim Yosef atzadik. Her sole intent was that she would have children from the righteous Joseph. Umasha hutzracha li'astrologinin shela, why did she need her astrologers? Hainu mipnei ki Tamar yad'ah mihu Yehuda. This is to say that Tamar, she knew who Yehuda was. She could recognize him when he came by. Avalhi halo lo yad'ah oto. But she had been getting this message from the stars. She had no idea who this guy was or what he would look like. V'chi ben Yaakov hu, and that he was the son of Yaakov. Alkein ne'amar kirata kol ayudei ha'itstrologim. And that's why it has to tell us that she was told all this through her astrology. Avalamaisa hine kavanata shel eshet Potiphar haita oto kavana atzma shel Tamar. Now he says something very strong. The wife of Potiphar's intent was at the same level as the intent of Tamar. Lehulid banim me'otam hatzadikim, to have children from these righteous people. Zera Yaakov bechiro, Zera Yaakov was the choice. And this tells us the greatness and the praiseworthiness of the forefathers. V'hine, acharei she'eshet Potiphar nitkavna l'shem shamayim, v'lo l'davar acher, and now that we know that Eshet Potiphar had such lofty intentions, heavenly intentions, and not for any other reason, v'hishvuota k'domem mamash l'tamar tzedeket, and they equate her with the righteous Tamar, imkin mahaya havdal b'nehem. If that's so, what was the difference between them? Asher Tamar zachta v'yatza mimenu kol malchut beit David. Tamar merited, and all of the kings of the house of David came from her. V'eshet Potiphar achrita de'oved. Eshet Potiphar is lost forever to the generations. That's her end. V'gam kar'u ha'chazal b'lashon arara. And also our rabbis call her wicked. She's not a tzaddikus in the end. Hu asher lamda lanu toratenu hakadosh davar nifla v'nora. The Torah is teaching us something wondrous and awesome. Ukvar higid ze admor zatzal mikelm. He's quoting the admor of Kelm, who was the founder of the Musar movement in Kelm, and his sources, the original sources included in the packet. Lehodiacha ki lo dai la'adam asher hareshit heinahu tov. To inform us that it's not enough for a person that his beginning is good. Gam im reshit hachi tov, even if his beginning is the best. Adayin eno batuach klal ma ye'acharit v'sof davar. He can't be sure at all what the end is going to be. Hamerchak min hareshit ata acharit rav ma'od. The distance between the beginning and the end is great. Bi'ikar avodata shel hadam. The main work of a person is to worry and to strengthen himself in order to bring out the good at the end. And this pasuk in Tehillim instructs us on that. Shmor tam v'ra'e yashar. Point out the pure and you'll see the straight. Ki acharit li'ish shalom. Because the end of a man is peace. It's going to explain it better. Hainu ki adam im af hu tam. A man, even if he is tam, he's pure. Yaakov's called an ish tam. Alav liot tamit shmor. He always has to be on guard. V'ra'a yashar. And then he'll see straight. Ki acharit yatov. That his end will be good. Umi hagever yiskeze. Who is the one who merits this? Ish shalom. A man of peace. Hainu she'ose shalom bin gufo v'nafsho. That is, he makes peace between his body and his soul. Ki hu hagever asher yir'et tachlit v'acharit tov. This is the man who will see that the beginning and the end is good. Hine, Tamar hatzadeket hazo nitkavna l'shem shamayim. Tamar intended for the sake of heaven. Reshita haita tov, her beginning was good. Umi'az kol da'agata haita l'acharit. Her entire worry was for the end. Lo batchalatma, she didn't have confidence in herself, meaning she wasn't cocky. Ela shamra darchaha lahotzi machshavota lepoal tov. Rather, she guarded all her ways in order so that her thoughts would be for good actions. Ubekol tokef gvorta, with all her strength, hichzika ma'amad neged kol ikuleo psharei shematzal darcha. She was able to stay strong with any stumbling blocks that would come her way. Ad she'amra noach lo le'adam she'apil atzmo le'tocha kivshan ha'esh, until it was said about her, it's better that a person should fling himself into the fiery furnace, ve'al yalbin p'nei chaveiro berabim, and not to embarrass the face of his friend in public. Ken amra ve'ken asta. That's what she said, and that's what she did. Ra'ata yashar, she saw straight, ve'lo netata yamin u'smol, she didn't veer to the right or left, al ken zachta, and therefore she merited, ve'achrita haita shalom, that her end would be peace. Lo ken haita ishet Potifar. It's not the same personality as Eshet Potifar. Im ki gam hi l'shem shamayim nitkavna be'emet, even if she truly intended for the sake of heaven in the beginning, gam hi reshita haita tov, her beginning was good, aval et achrita lo zachra, but she didn't keep in mind the end. Lo daga ala akla, she didn't worry about it all. Batcha be'atzma, she was so sure of herself, v'lo shamrat mikayon darchaha, she didn't guard the cleanliness of her path, behotza'at devarim, and what would the results be? Hakavanot ve'amachshavot tovot, the good intentions and thoughts, ad hapoel hatov, until the good action. Ve'az kishapag'a kol minei ikulei upishirei shonim, and that is until she met up with all of these stumbling blocks. Hine rafu yada, her hands were weakened. V'lo atzra koach la'amod b'nisayon, and she couldn't withstand the test. V'nafla tekef b'mimkarata yetzer, and she immediately fell from the inclinations of the inclination. V'midot ra'ot, with bad attributes, v'kol hashchatot, and all of the destruction, v'achrita haita ade oved, and her end was to be lost. Yada adam v'yizkor tamid, man should know and always remember, Kilo bereshit yivtach ish, a man cannot be confident in his beginning. Rabim hema mitorarim umatchilim bechitov, many are awakened and they begin with only good. Aval mi'atim hema hashlamim, but few are those who are complete. Hamenatzchim al ha'acharit, who succeed in the end. Ve'ashrei ha'gever ki yigbar, happy is the man who is able to overcome. Ve'azruho Hashem, and Hashem should help him. So that is Eshet Potifar, who had very good intentions, but let her intentions and the prediction by the astrologists get in the way of how she went about gaining those intentions, to the fact that she was gross and crude, and all the things that she did to try to get Yosef to listen to her, and then all things she did afterwards to incriminate Yosef. That was her downfall, even if her beginning was good. And we should learn from the other woman in this parsha, Tamar, who I've not yet given a shiur about, but her intentions were good, and she made sure to stay on the straight and narrow in achieving her goals, and she is remembered for the good. Thank you, everybody.